flowers from one season to another. A godless man is invariably greedy, angry, and fraudulent. Such a man can earn his livelihood by any means, black or white. During the reign of Maharaj Yudhishthira, all the above symptoms were conspicuous by their absence. But Maharaj Yudhishthira was astonished to experience even a slight change in the godly atmosphere of his kingdom. And at once he suspected the disappearance of the Lord. Foul means of livelihood implies deviation from one's occupational duties. There are duties prescribed for everyone, such as the Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Sudra. But anyone who deviates from his prescribed duties and declares another's duties to be his own is following a foul and improper duty. A man becomes too greedy for wealth and power when he has no higher objective in life, and when he thinks that his earthly life of a few years is the all in all. Ignorance is the cause of all these anomalies in human society, and to remove this ignorance, especially in this age of degradation, the powerful sun is there to distribute light in the shape of Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Jnana Timiranda Sya Janan Jana Shalakaya Chaksuhun Manitam Minatasmai Sri Guru Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Lam Jayati Giri Yakripa Tamaham Bande Sri Guru Dinatarina Avancha Kapatiri Vischa Kripa Sindhu Bahivacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnavi Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Sidharava Shivasi Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. My only constant companion, my only friend, my guru, my wealth, that which has delivered me, my great fortune, and the source of my good luck, the form through which I taste nectar, taste pleasure, my obeisances to you, O Srimad Bhagavatam. So Srila Prabhupada starts these this chapter, if you will, the purports he's presenting to us, with a reference to this most famous and often quoted verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Paritiraya Sarunam Vinasai Chaduskritam Dharma Samstakanataya Sambhavamni Jage Jage, that in order to deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants as well as to reestablish the principles of religion, I invent myself millennium after millennium. Now, Arjuna is well aware of this principle. I mean, both as a devotee of Krishna, this would be something he would know, but also as a fact that he had just recently heard the Bhagavad Gita explained to him. I mean, we're talking, roughly the period of a month or so prior to this. The battle took place for 18 days or some passing time. So just a short period of time, he's heard the Bhagavad Gita, so his attention span is not like ours. Why did I walk into this room? We walk back into the other room and look around. Oh, right. And then we get distracted, you know. There's a whole funny way of telling that, but it's, anyway, you get the point, you know. So Krishna explained all of this to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and Arjuna had the ability to remember it. So, oh, yeah, right, Krishna, come on, you know. So he understood this. Personally, I have this practice of listening to Prabhupada's class every morning. And then I repeat what I heard to any devotee I happen to meet in the plumbing department at Lowe's. And embarrassingly, I will admit that some days I just can't remember a single point of what I listened to that morning. Not a single thing. It's just like, oh yeah, what did I say? So our memory is one of the factors of Kali Yuga, that we don't have a very good memory. So Arjuna, knowing that Krishna had completed his purpose, which was to annihilate the miscreants, establish the principles of religion, and that he was residing in Dwarka, he wanted to go there and see what was the next plan on the Lord's agenda. What was he going to do next? Okay, you came for this purpose, you've completed it, what's next? So we can note that Arjuna is a very dear friend of Krishna's. That you know, his wandering for going to Krishna and find this out, to ask what he was doing, to ask where he was going, to ask what his plan was. You know, this wasn't out of place because he was a very dear friend. Nectar Devotion gives an example of how close their relationship was. Narada is describing to Krishna Arjuna's state of mind. One instance of Arjuna's friendship with Krishna was described by Narada, who reminded Krishna, when Arjuna was learning the art of shooting arrows, he did not get to see you for many days. But when you arrived there, he stopped all of his activities and immediately embraced you. This means that even though Arjuna was engaged in learning about military art, he had not forgotten Krishna for one moment. And as soon as there was an opportunity to see Krishna, Arjuna immediately embraced him. Now that's very significant. Not that Arjuna immediately went to greet him and Arjuna said, oh, hey, Krishna's here. No, he went and embraced him. This indicates a certain level of intimacy, this embrace, this type of friendship. Another example of forgetful mind, I was listening in the last couple of days to a class and Prabhupada used the Sanskrit word describing the type of friendship between Krishna and Arjuna, and I can't remember and couldn't find the reference to nothing. Madhavamithi, do you know that Sanskrit word? The particular friendship between Arjuna and Krishna. Yeah, it started with an S, as I remember. What was the other one? Yes, that was it. Yes. And Prabhupada explained this was the nature of the intimacy of the relationship between Krishna and Arjuna. So, in any way, Arjuna was certainly within his boundaries of such an intimate friend to take this script and ask Krishna these detailed questions. You know, this is sometimes someone will ask us like that. We may see it as an intrusion. You know, wait a minute, I don't know you that well. Why are you asking me all these questions? Or what business is it of yours? Or something like that, you know? Why should I share this with you? Who are you to be asking me this, you know? But there's a very close mood between them here that facilitates and supports this confidentiality between them, this type of approach. So this is why Arjuna has gone to Dwarka to check in with Krishna as you would. Now the next purport, Prabhupada starts with a reference to the Latin word ad infinitum. The translation for this Latin word we're all familiar with, but it actually means without end, endlessly to infinity, or a phrase some of you may be familiar with, to infinity and beyond. So this captures the very essence of this Latin word, unending. Prabhupada also explains here, Krishna is more powerful than the most powerful sun. For instance, after these several days of rain that we've had, we hanker to see the sun return. The sun brings out a brightness to the atmosphere. The nourishment of the plants has all been achieved by the watering, and now the sun's nourishment will assist in that growing process, and its presence gives a general upliftment to the mood of the people. Well, this is the potency, this is the power of the sun. Of course, Krishna has these same abilities. His presence brightens the world. His presence nourishes all beings. And his presence brings a general upliftment to the mood of his devotees. Whether he's personally present, as we see here in these particular sections of the Bhagavatam, or whether he is present by our activities, by the chanting of the holy name, by the recitation of the shastras, by the discussion of his pastimes amongst the devotees. This is one of the wonderful things about Krishna, is that all of his activities, whether it be his form or his pastimes or his paraphernalia, it all has the same potency. Uddhava mentions in the Nectar Devotion that he wears the devotional items that have been worn by Krishna, because this brings him a remembrance of Krishna. This allows him to, you know, feel in touch and in contact with Krishna. For this reason, we wear the flower garlands. Some devotees wear the Brahmin's thread that's been mahaprasadam from the Lord. We take his remnants, you know, things of this nature. So all of these different things are there because they help us to remember Krishna's presence. What to speak of if we happen to have been fortunate enough to be an intimate associate and there at his pastimes when they were taking place. Excuse me. Or an intimate associate and able to serve the Lord on the altar. So all of these things, these are the three ways, similar to the sun, that Krishna's presence is beneficial for us. Now, Prabhupada also speaks in the second purport about the importance and the influence of the sun and the role it plays, so to speak. We can see very easily that if the sun is more present than it usually is, it can cause so many difficulties. Like right now in the Western United States, the balance between the sun and rain is not very good. And the sun is much more prominent. As a result, the balance of rain is not very strong. There's so much drought. And the temperature is ranging to 120 on a regular basis in places where they've never seen anything like this. So, you know, 120 degrees may be common in some parts of the world, but not so in these areas. And as a result, it throws everything out of balance. The ardent desire of the human being to be comfortable causes them to place their air conditioners higher and longer. And this draws on the electrical grid, which puts a strain on the supplying of that type of energy, which causes the government to have to request people to please reduce this, which causes anxiety and distress in the people, so on and so on and so on. Actually, I heard something the other day that these electronic thermostats, you know, these online ones that many people use, some of the energy companies, when you install this and go online, you have to accept their agreement. And buried in that agreement is the fact that in a time of need, they can take over control of your thermostat. So there was an experience recently, I forget what city it was, where in the middle of this heat wave, people's homes were becoming warmer because the managers of the energy grid were raising everybody's thermostats so that the use wouldn't be so strong. So loss of independence, loss of comfort, all of these different things simply because the sun is more prominent than it is usually found to be at this time of year. So Prabhupada speaks like this, that this is, you know, things are out of balance. You know, this is how powerful the sun is. And Prabhupada would regularly mention in his various lectures, noting to the potency of Krishna's ability to keep things in control, how the sun, if it's a few degrees more one way or the other in its orbit, it can change the entire concept of heat and cold on a planet. Everything is nicely situated as the planets are rotating. And if there's just the slightest degree of change in that, planets that have been comfortable can become either very, very hot or become freezing cold. And this is a result of bringing about the destruction of that planet or life on that planet like that. Yet when everything is balanced, the sun's presence brings about productivity, resources, nourishment, happiness. These are also the qualities that a balanced leadership, Prabhupada alludes to this in the end of this second purport, that a balanced leadership brings about these same qualities too. And only due to the sun, Prabhupada says, are our necessities provided. You can just imagine. We have so many nice gardens here. Now, part of that is due to our wonderful staff here at the temple that take care of everything so diligently. But a big part of that is due to the fact that we're in mid-central Florida. We have nice atmosphere. We have good sun. We can grow banana trees. I have bananas in my backyard. I never had bananas when I lived in St. Louis or New York. There was no question of it. I remember there was one place near the temple in St. Louis. The guy had several banana trees. And everybody was amazed. People used to drive past this yard to see them all the time. Of course, they would die very quickly. But Here we have this ability, all of these different types of necessities they're provided very easily that cannot be provided other places when there is no proper presence of the Son. So, and Krishna's presence, personal presence, on the planet at that time was considered to be just like that, if not more. The presence of Krishna during this period that he was there, peace, prosperity, religion, knowledge, these things were all abundant. And these four qualities are very beneficial to human society. With the presence of Krishna, with the presence of good leadership, these qualities are easily found. So this is all in great part at this time due to the leadership, the religious rule of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Excuse me. Again, one of the reasons why Krishna advented, to get rid of the demoniac kings, to get rid of those that were not Krishna-focused, and place Yudhishthira on the throne. The section of the Bhagavatam I've been recently listening to from Prabhupada, Yudhishthira, and that we also have recently finished, Yudhishthira Maharaj is in great anxiety about all the distress, all the difficulty, all the suffering that has come about simply for him to be placed on the throne. Simply for that purpose, he's feeling like, oh, this is just too much, you know, this isn't really, you know. But in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we find the kings like Yudhishthira and other religious kings like Ambarish and Prithu, when they were present, the state of affairs for the planet, the state of affairs for the praja, was all very, very wonderful. It was all very pleasing. There was an abundance of everything. Piety reigned. Foodstuffs were properly supplied by the earth. All of these different things. Yet, we see during the reigns of kings like Venu and others, this was not the case. Mother Earth, seeing how cruel, how evil and exploited and self-serving such a king as Venu was, for instance, she withheld her abundance. No, I'm not giving to you. You don't do anything right. You're not looking after the praja, so you get nothing out of me. So this certainly, these descriptive words certainly describe the modern rulers of our world today. They simply do not have the interest of the citizenry in mind, but as Prabhupada would say, are simply interested in lining their pockets. If you listen to Prabhupada's lectures regularly, he uses this phrase, lining their pockets, describing the leaders of our modern world. And this is their primary goal. Now, of course, Maharaj Yudhishthira was not such a leader as this. So when he saw these various discrepancies that prior to this had not been present in his kingdom, he knew something's wrong. These types of discrepancies, these types of difficulties, they arise when there's irreligious leaders. Maharaj Yudhishthira was not such a person, but yet there they were. So he knew something's out of whack. You know, he was a very intelligent person. He was well-versed in the scriptures. And so he could understand, I think this means Krishna has left this world. Because without his presence, just like without the presence of the sun, so many anomalies will come. So interesting here is the context at which Yudhishthira Maharaj is receiving this instruction, so to speak. We live in an age now where in a split second from the time of something happening in any part of the world, everyone knows about it. There's no lapse of time. Okay, maybe a 20-minute lapse, and then it's all over all the different news fronts and medias, and because of our modern technology, everything is known. Something happens, everybody in the world has a cell phone, video tapes it, sends it out to all the different platforms and medias, and everybody knows what's going on. Some major crisis or some major good event happens in the world, it gets sent everywhere. Of course, mostly it's crisis events. So whether that's good or bad, or whether it's both, we'll leave that for another discussion. That's not the point. But the point is that this was not the way things were during the time of Yudhishthira. He's actually sitting in one place and wondering what's going on in Dwarka. I sent Arjuna there. Arjuna's been gone much longer than was expected. And there's these discrepancies arising in my kingdom. So he's curious what's happening here. So he fears the worst based on his understanding of Scripture, based on his understanding of the way the world functions, based on his relationship with Krishna, he's able to clearly understand that the world and the overall benefit the world has experienced in Krishna's presence is beginning to diminish, is no longer the situation. Now, there's a notation of ill omens. This is very interesting, you know. We find this many places in the Bhagavatam, the discussion of ill omens. One of my favorites is Kamsa. Prior to all the circumstances with Kamsa's situation and Krishna and all the different children being born, there's a description of Kamsa's concern because of the ill omens that he observes. And they are, when he looked at his reflection, he could not see his head. If you look in the mirror and you don't see a reflection, you're probably a vampire. But if you look in the mirror and you see half of your reflection minus the head, that's probably something to concern yourself with. For no reason, the moon and the stars appeared double. This wasn't some amazing astronomy type of thing. This was a bad omen. He saw a hole in his shadow. He could not hear the sound of his life air. We can all hear our breathing. He couldn't hear that. Trees seemed to be covered with a golden hue. He could not see his footprints. He dreamt that he was being embraced by ghosts. Of course, if you lived on 55th Street for any period of time, that was probably a common event. He dreamed that he was riding a donkey and drinking poison. And also he dreamed that a naked man smeared with oil was passing by him wearing a garland of Naladaka flowers. So all of these things are not very good. This is some of the types of omens that we see are very ill. Fortunately for us, at any rate, the list of omens that Yudhishthira Maharaj is observing are given in the final verse we're looking at today. He saw that the direction of eternal time had changed, and this was very fearful. There were disruptions in the seasonal regularities. The people in general had become very greedy, very angry, and very deceitful. And he saw that they were adopting foul means of livelihood. Now, in his purport on this verse, Prabhupada focuses on two of these irregularities. One, the seasonal irregularities. This is the first omen that Prabhupada notes. And the second, the means of livelihood that people were accepting. The qualities of human society, they are divided by nature, by our nature, and as we call it, by caste, by one's inclinations. In the Shastra, we find, particularly in the Gita, this is clearly explained. The Brahmin has 12 qualities he's known for. Peacefulness, self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance, honesty, knowledge, wisdom, religiousness. I didn't cut and paste all of them. Okay. At any rate, these are the qualities that a Brahmin is known for. These are the qualities you look for in a Brahmin. These are qualities that identify the person as a Brahmin. For the Kshatriyas, the proper duty of the royal order is the engagement in protecting the citizenry, heroism, power, determination, resourcefulness, courage in battle, generosity, and leadership. These are the qualities by which we can know that someone is a Kshatriya. For Vaishyas, it means they are the productive class, interested in producing things for the consumption of people, the mercantile class, industrialists, also agriculturally producing foodstuffs, food grains, protecting the cows. These are the qualities of the Vaishya. And for the Sudras, it is simply described as the duty of the Sudras to serve the other caste, and they are the laborer caste of men, meant to earn their own livelihood by serving others. So each of these four groups, these qualities are found in people, and according to those qualities, this was part of the purpose of the Gurukula system, the child would come in, and then it would be understood what the qualities of this child are, and they would be engaged accordingly. So in previous times, especially during the time of Maharaj Yudhisthira, each class of person worked according to their position. Carl, come out. I know you're in there. I can hear you. You're camping. All of your neighbors, they think that you're complaining at night and whining because you're so hungry. But I know that you're in there camping. And you're here to see me. Thank you.
no, of course, classmates can be, you know, the same school, but they're different grades. But somebody is a bit older. Yeah, he's more like that. Okay. All right, we'll finish there. Srimad Bhagavatam, please, 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 please,